Good evening and welcome to the 60-minute edition of the Left, Right and Center with me, Sanket Upadhyay. Three stories that we are tracking on the show. Story number one, and this is so surprising that it is happening, and it has happened for almost a week now, that women have not been allowed, girls have not been allowed to attend classes in their college. Why? Because they want to wear hijab. Why are hijab girls being barred from their class? Simple question. What is so incredibly wrong about women choosing to wear hijab? Since when has that become a problem? Story number two. There is a huge debate going on in the political circles on whether one should declare a chief ministerial candidate or not declare. You see, what the Aam Aadmi Party did with a dial-in and getting people to vote who the chief minister of Punjab should be, to naming Mr. or Colonel Kotiyal as the Uttarakhand chief minister, to naming Mr. Palekar as the Goa chief minister. Not many governments or not many parties have done this. Each party has its own calculation. So CM candidate to declare or not declare. What is the correct number one procedure? And number two, what should ideally be done to help people make the right choice? That discussion will come up in just a short moment. We'll also be speaking to Aam Aadmi Party's Goa chief ministerial face, Mr. Amit Palekar. He speaks to NDTV on what he thinks is the reality of Goa, the issues of Goa, and also about his political prospects. You see, what is happening in Goa is that there is a five-cornered contest. So many players are coming in and everybody is in the fray, and they all claim to be an extremely serious player and they're winning also. So we'll speak to the chief ministerial face in just a short moment. But first, let's quickly go back to story number one on why hijab is not acceptable in the class. Why are hijab girls being prevented from attending college? Here is the report.
It's been 3 weeks since these students have been barred from attending classes at a government college in Udupi. The reason, they wore a hijab while the class was on, which the college says is against their rules.
Burqa and hijab, we are not allowed. Okay. Allowed in the classroom while teaching the class.
Okay. Is there any particular reason to it? So, why?
Equality and identity purpose.
The students were called in for a meeting to persuade them to change their mind, but they didn't. One of the students says wearing a hijab is their right.
This is a basic fundamental right, and I don't know why it's like, why they're acting like we are doing some crime. Like, it's why they can't allow us to go with just a headscarf. We are just asking for a headscarf, not naqab, not abhaya, nothing.
When we asked a senior education official in Udupi why the college would have a problem with hijab, this was his answer.
Is it right on their part, basically asking, you know, debarring these students?
I am sorry to answer these questions. What I have to say means only just wait and watch for the government order, that's all.
Karnataka's education minister says the state does not have a uniform code, but he asked the protesting students to back down, claiming there is politics behind it.
एक ही कारण है, इलेक्शन आ रहा है अगले साल. कोई कार्यक्रम है नहीं उस लोग के पास. इस कारण से ऐसा कुछ करके डिवाइड करके समाज को डिवाइड करके करने वाला है. सरकार यूनिफॉर्म फिक्स नहीं किया, हम भी एक्सेप्ट करता हूँ. बच्चों के बीच में कॉम्प्लेक्सिटी नहीं होने के लिए यूनिफॉर्म बहुत बहुत अच्छा एक व्यवस्था है.
The students are firm on their stand. They say hijab is their right and that they won't succumb to the college's dress code mandate. In Udupi, with camera person Govind Murthy, Shrija for NDTV.
Let's introduce our guests one by one. Almas AH is a victim student who joins us. Thank you very much, Almas, for joining us. Masood Manna, State Committee Member, the Campus Front of India in Karnataka. Maitri Krishnan, Advocate and Co-Convener of AILAJ. Maulana Dr. Kalbe Rushaid Rizvi, renowned Islamic scholar and a social reformer. Tehseen Poonawala supports the Congress Party, is a political analyst. PKD Nambiar supports the BJP. Sabah Naqvi, author and a senior journalist. Thank you very much. Important discussion, one by one. Let's begin with you, Almas. What exactly did the college say? What is their basic objection to the hijab?
Like, they're not allowing us to wear hijab because they say that till now no one has worn hijab in our college. But it is not true. Our seniors and super seniors have worn it and we have seen with our eyes. So,
did you bring this up with the authorities? What did they say?
Yeah, like we said, we had spoken with the DDP and DC and many others, and they said that we even give them memorandum and etc. They said that, yeah, we'll see, well, let's see what happens. They were speaking like they were supportive to us.
And yet nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened.
No, the college, what do they say? What is the reason that they are giving for not allowing you in a hijab? I heard one of the representatives saying that this is because of identity. Where is the identity problem?
They say that our identity is not like, they can't identify us if we are wearing hijab. But nothing is like, there is nothing about identity in this. We wear hijab only our hair closes. Our hair is covered in that. Our face is not covered in that. And everyone can identify us in that.
Okay. Masood Manna, I'm going to come to you now. You see, what Almas is saying is that authorities, the state authorities, seem sympathetic, almost appear to be listening to these students. Yet nothing changes on the ground. Where is the problem, one wonders?
Actually, the problem here, we need to see, there is no specific rules framed by the government to restrict the students to enter the class for wearing hijab. And there is no compulsory uniform from the government side. There is also a rule that if the uniform is not compulsory in PU college, and if the principal allows for a uniform, then he is doing an illegal act as per the PU department board. And there is no written rules framed by the college to restrict the students from wearing the hijab. And they speak about the identity thing. Here the students are not wearing any, they are not covering their faces. They are wearing their uniform and they are covering their head with the scarf given, with the shawl given during, with the uniform. And the students covering the face is just because for the COVID reason and not because of any hijab. And here no identity problem comes. And this is all baseless thing that there is an identity problem. This student go to the college with the uniform and they cover their head with the shawl given during the uniform time. And these are all baseless allegations, and this is completely unconstitutional. It is
no, it's bizarre, because even now, if you say identity, you've got Almas who's saying that the hair is covered, the face isn't. I mean, suppose if you say that in Corona times we have to wear a mask, then if you want to check the identity, you can ask for that individual to remove the mask, show the identity, clarify who the person is, and then go ahead. Maitri Krishnan, I want to come to you. Do you feel that at this moment the students have a legal case that they can mount against the college?
The right to wear the hijab is a fundamental right that is protected by the constitution. In fact, the Kerala High Court specifically on this issue has held that it's a fundamental right which is covered under Article 25. The right to practice, profess and propagate one's religion includes the right of women to wear the hijab. This has specifically been decided by the Kerala High Court in 2016 in a case which is Amna Vinith Bashir versus Central Board of Secondary Education, where it specifically held that it is. In fact, what the college is doing by not allowing them is not only is it a violation of their fundamental right to practice their religion, which is protected under Article 25, it is violating their fundamental right to education. It is not allowing them to go to class. These students are actually sitting outside the class trying to listen in and trying to get the education. So it's a blatant violation of their fundamental right to practice their religion. It is a violation of their fundamental right to education. It is a violation
And yet it has been 3 weeks. My point is, yet it has been 3 weeks. It seems that the college lends a sympathetic ear. No, the administration, sorry, lends a sympathetic ear, but the college doesn't. I really wonder why, if this is a violation of fundamental right, the law is clear, then why is there still a problem? I'll come to you, Mr. Nambiar, but first, Kalbe Rushed Rizvi. You know, we have heard of the argument, we have heard of the position of the law, we have heard of what the government or this college is doing. What is the way forward for these students? One is that they conform to the diktat and come and attend classes, or they continue to fight with their choosing to do.
Sanket, thank you very much for inviting me in this program. Just request if you allow me to speak in Hindi, so
sure.
I would be more comfortable.
Please.
Sanket, NDTV ka shukriya ke unhone itne important subject ko apne program mein liya. सियासत में कुर्सी की बात तो हर चैनल में होती है, मगर समाज में मिट्टी की बात होना बहुत जरूरी है. हमारी देश की एक बच्ची जिसका नाम अलमास है, जिसने अपनी बात आपके सामने आपके चैनल पे रखी, और हमारी लॉयर बहन ने जो बात कही उससे सारा कुछ क्लियर हो जाता है कि हमारा जो राइट है, जो बाबा साहब भीमराव अम्बेडकर ने जो सारे देशवासियों को राइट दिया है, और उस राइट के तहत जो हमारा हक है उसको कोई भी नहीं दबा सकता. बस मैं यहाँ इतना जरूर कहना चाहूंगा, सारे देश से कहना चाहूंगा, माता मरियम के सर पे चादर है, यानी स्काफ कह सकते हैं, माता सीता के ऊपर भी ढका हुआ है, चादर है कह सकते हैं, स्काफ कह सकते हैं, माँ फातिमा का सर भी ढका हुआ है. अब अगर इन तीनों समुदाय के लोग आपस में स्काफ रखने पे बहस करें तो मुझे बहुत तअज्जुब होगा, क्योंकि इनकी जड़ों में जाएं तो आपको पर्दा मिलेगा, और अगर नए इस दुनिया में आए तो आपको ये दिखेगा कि नहीं, ये होना चाहिए और ये नहीं होना चाहिए. मुझे लगता है ये आदमी का अपना चॉइस है. अगर बच्ची कहती है मुझे सर छुपाना है और वो सर छुपा रही है, तो दुनिया की कोई ताकत उससे उसका हिजाब या पर्दा नहीं छीन सकती, क्योंकि हिजाब बच्ची के तालीम में कभी रुकावट नहीं होता. आज आप देख रहे हैं, एक सेकंड में अपनी बात खत्म करूंगा, आप देख रहे हैं हम कोरोना में अपना चेहरा छुपाते हैं, अपनी आंखें छुपा लेते हैं, चश्मा लगा के, दूसरे ग्लासेस लगा के एक दूसरे को देखते हैं. अगर उसने नहीं छुपाया होता, उससे छुपवाते हैं कि भाई तू बंद कर, बीमारी फैल रही है. तो हमें ध्यान रखना चाहिए.
ओके,
हमारी आजादी का मतलब ये नहीं है कि हम दूसरे को गुलाम.
Sure. Okay. Mr. PKD Nambiar, I'm going to give you a great amount of time to express your view. I also know and I'm aware that this is a 6-1 against you, so you will get your adequate time also. But let me quickly go to Sabha Naqvi and Tehsin Poonawala, and then I'll come to you, so that you have heard all the arguments and then you can give your counter argument and perhaps be ready to explain. Because you will in fact be defending something that cannot be defended. Sabha Naqvi first and then Tehsin Poonawala.
So, as everyone has already said, Sanket, it's a violation of fundamental rights. Currently in the United States of America, we have two lawmakers in the House of Representatives who wear hijab. There are women all over the world who do amazing work wearing hijab. Muslim women have been at the forefront of protests, even in the working sphere, wearing a headscarf. So if these students, and as the Maulana Saab Kalbe Rushad said just now, are you in India, which has the world's third largest Muslim population, which is a very, very diverse country anyway? People wear ghungat, people wear turbans, people have beards, people... We are not France. In France, these issues have come up. Not in the UK. France has a particular approach to its democratic space. I agree it's been an issue there. Not in, in India you're going to start this kind of thing. And let me say that if the state of Karnataka, if it actually rules on this, it will be international news. That in India, women who want to be educated, who are going to seek an education, that they are being told you cannot enter this college because you're wearing a headscarf. It'll be news all over. Hmm. You know, if the government actually takes a position. They haven't done so, so they've left it to the sort of prejudice.
No, this is why one wonders whether this is some sort of an experiment. Is this some sort of an experiment being conducted in UDP? Either this is a mistake or a misadventure by a college. Or this is a very concerted strategy ahead of a national launch.
It's an experiment, really, to see how far you can get away with it. But, you know, it's clearly an experiment.
Tehsin Poonawalla, do you also feel that this is some sort of an experiment? Alok Watts, leader of the BJP, is also with us. But Tehsin Poonawalla, do you also think that this is deliberately done by design with the support and patronage of the state government?
Absolutely, Sanket. Thank you for having me on the show. And more power to the 8 girls who are fighting, including the one of the victims out here. This is deliberately done by the BJP. Please think about it, Sanket. All of these issues never happened in the progressive state of Karnataka or in any other part until the BJP came to power and you're some time away from the election. Why does this keep happening? Let us just go back a little bit in history to Fatima Sheikh, who, along with Savitri Bai Phule, revolutionized girls' education in our country. She wore a hijab. What are we arguing about in the 21st century when there are no written rules, when there is no uniform, when at a time of COVID we expect that faces should be covered, the Prime Minister's face, pictures on the vaccine certificate, asking people to cover their face. We have the Kerala High Court judgment of 2016 saying hijab is a fundamental right. What are we going against? And I'm aghast. I am aghast that the High Court has not suo moto stepped in and safeguarded these girls. And on the contrary...
So you think that should step in? The courts must step in now.
If these girls require any legal help to go to the High Court or the Supreme Court, I am there for them. We will go there and justice will be delivered.
Almas, I want to come back to you. You've heard what Tehsin Poonawalla says. Any legal help that you need, he'll be able to provide you with it. Do you think that you would want to explore this legal option now?
Excuse me, sir. Your voice is not audible, sir.
I'm saying that would you be willing to explore a legal option now? Legal option for your right?
I'm really sorry, sir, but your voice is not audible.
Okay, we're going to fix this and come back to you. PKD Nambiar. PKD Nambiar, you've heard everybody's view. What do you have to say?
Since all the views are the same, and which is quite expected today, I am not talking about the constitutional rights and the fundamental rights of an individual, what to wear or how to wear and where to wear. I'm not discussing. But I feel sometimes surprised. We are in 2021, when in the woman in Saudi, which is considered to be a very conservative society, Muslim Islam society, or in an Afghanistan, the woman of Afghanistan is fighting that they don't want it to wear a burqa and they wanted to have a freedom from the burqa and fighting on the streets of Afghanistan in Udupi, which I belong to the Malabar coast of, which is just 2 hours from that particular place. I feel so sad that we are talking about we want to wear our, in our campus and the school should be, we are going to wear our religion on our sleeves. I think this is highly regressive. We are a progressive society, as Tehsin said, that Karnataka is a very progressive society, Kerala is a very progressive society. In Malappuram district, which is considered to be one of the most populous Muslim districts in the country, wherein last month there were introduced gender neutral uniforms in the schools and the colleges, wherein we are here talking about that.
You know, Mr. Nambiar, I've been itching to say something to you.
Please.
See, the point is, have you heard of a concept called choice? While it is all right to say that women must not be forced to cover their head with a scarf or a hijab, but if it is her choice, as mandated by the law...
Can I come in that?
Because according to your logic, you are suggesting that there should be absolute uniformity.
Absolutely.
Then by that logic... By that logic, you will apply the same rule to the Sikhs also? You will ask them to take off their turban?
May I? The question is that there are two Muslim women on this show. One is wearing a hijab and covering her face. On the other one is absolutely not wearing anything.
So?
It is the fundamental right of an individual how they wanted to. But in schools and campuses are not supposed to be like that. The schools and campuses is not supposed
what
to be
is your
showing
point?
Your religion. Savanakvi, he's saying a school or a college campus is different. It is not a place to exercise. It is not a place to exercise religion. I don't know where this rule has come from, but Savanakvi.
No. Sanket, you have to be justifying this. I wanted to ask you, tomorrow a Brahmin boy from an Udupi
Brahmin boy from Udupi, he says that he will not be wearing any shirt or anything in the south of India. Predominantly, the people don't even wear a shirt, so especially the Hindu community. Will he be okay if a college or a school will admit that particular boy without wearing anything on the top? If he goes to the topless and say that I am supposed to be, my religious sentiment is this, my religion tells me that not to wear when I go to the Gurukul, the school is for me is a Gurukul, yeah, and in Gurukul I will not wear anything on the top. Do you think that
I am going by one moment, Mr. Nambiar, I am going by a legal position here, which is why we very carefully made you listen to all the opinion. Right? Even the legal opinion. Tehsin Poonawala. Tehsin Poonawala. The law of this land. The courts of this country.
You are an individual. You can wear it anywhere, wherever you want it to. Sanket, who is stopping you not to wear a hijab?
Let's talk. You know, that you will bring in Brahmins. You will bring in someone else.
I wanted to tell you. I am telling you in the 30 years. The last 30 years in the Malabar coast, there is a complete change of food habits, dressing habits. As I grown up till 20 years,
I lived some couple of points.
One moment. Let him complete. It's a
35%
since he's in minority here. Let me give him enough time. Yeah.
No, Sanket. 35% of my classmates were Muslims throughout my education in my place. I have not seen any of my classmates who are wearing hijab in my classrooms. I have not seen any of my Muslim brothers who are wearing a skull.
Let's see. My point is, let us not. You are making an emotional argument. I am asking you for a legal argument, right? Tehsin Poonawala, very quickly before I go to Mr. Alok Watts. Tehsin Poonawala, what does the law of the land say? What does the court have to say on this issue?
Before I come to the law of the land and court, Mr. Nambiar, have you heard of something called consent? I understand a lot of people on the right wing do not understand what consent is. Consent is Asma decides to wear what she wants to wear, and Sabha decides to wear what she wants to wear, and so that cannot be decided by Mr. Nambiar.
I don't want to wear anything. Is it okay with you? Is it okay with you in an school? I say that I don't want to wear anything.
Now, Article 25 and Article 21 and Article 14 does not work. Please, can I talk? We heard you out. Can you talk? It's not.
This is quite insane. Please. Article 25 is enforced. While you have had your say, now we'll have to continue with the discussion of the. Mr. Nambiar, one moment.
Article 25 come on topless in the school. Will you accept it? Answer me that question. Brahmin,
the point on legality, not emotions, please.
Article 25.
Tell me the answer. Will you accept it?
It's enforced in schools. You do not have an exception to Article 25, Article 21, Article 14, that it's not enforced on NDTV. It's not enforced in schools. It's enforced everywhere.
Tomorrow comes on in the school without topless. Tomorrow a Brahmin boy comes and says that my religion says that I'm not supposed to wear it. Will you accept
it? Can you show me something in the Vedas? Can you show me something in the Vedas that says you should not wear a shirt? I am ready to accept it.
What is it saying?
Please show me in the
Vedas. You know, one moment, Mr. Nambiar. See, my point is, Mr. Nambiar, this argument, the hypothetical argument here for the sake of it does not make sense. It does. That is why I am saying refrain from emotional arguments. Let's talk legal here. What is the legal position? What is the law of the land in this country? One moment. No debate like this, please. One moment, please. I want to go back to Maitreya Krishnan. Maitreya, can you tell us what is the legal position here? Alok Watts, I'll just come to you. Maitreya, the legal position as far as the hijab is concerned.
The position is very clear. Article 25 safeguards their right to practice their religion. It safeguards their right to wear the hijab. This is something that the Kerala High Court has specifically held on in 2016. The constitution still holds good in this country. Mr. Nambiar may want to make changes to it, but it still holds good in this country, and it protects and upholds the right of people, of women, to wear the hijab if they so choose. And in fact, the college is not only violating this, it is violating the right to education. Does this say that they're saying that these 8 girls cannot go to college? They cannot get the education that they so desire. That is what they're doing. This is also violative of the fundamental right to live with dignity, which is protected under Article 21. The constitution is very clear. The law is very clear. The courts have held on this. So there's absolutely no ambiguity on this whatsoever, that they have the right to be, they have the right to wear the hijab, and the college in not allowing them to come to class. Let's understand what that means. It means that for these 8 students, you are denying them their right to education. That is what it means. You are telling these students you cannot get educated. That is a fundamental right guaranteed, and it's a government college that is saying no to them. And there is also the Department of Public, the Department of Pre-University Education here has issued a guidelines which says that you can't have uniforms. So the constitution is very clear. The law is very clear.
Sure. Okay. Alok Watts. See, I'm not going to get into Mr. PKD Nambiar's very hypothetical argument of some Brahmin boy expressing the desire to come topless to a university. See, these hypothetical situations, no. Let's go by what is the law of this land. We'll go by that. No emotional argument, legal argument. Is legally Almas not allowed to wear a hijab in this country? The legal position in this country is no. She can wear it.
What a double
to her institution.
If a Hindu boy wears a saffron on his shoulder, then it becomes communal.
Sanket, why you are not allowing me to speak?
Alok Watts. Yes, this was for you. Alok Watts.
See, let me tell you one thing. As per our fundamental rights, one can wear anything in public, provided it is not obscene, whether it is a boy or a girl. And by stopping these girls from not entering the class, their fundamental rights have been deprived. They have been deprived of their fundamental rights. I am not a lawyer, so I will not go by what the law says. But as a citizen of this country, it is my right to wear what I want to wear. You see, a lot of people in UP and Bihar are using the so-called gamcha, the towel, as well as a headgear and also as a mask. Against COVID. So nobody is questioning them.
Of course they're questioning.
Wear a mask, but they are using the towel, the gamcha as a mask as well as the headgear. So it's all right. If those girls are not doing anything which is obscene, then yes, they should be allowed. How you can stop them from going to college or school exactly. If so they are wearing this hijab?
Let's see if the state government or the college also holds the same opinion, because as of this moment, they don't. And you have a weird situation where at 9 PM on NDTV, we have to carry out a discussion on something which must never be a discussion in the first place. As Sabha says, is this by design? Is this some sort of an experiment where we are eventually going to implement a sort of a uniform dress which will bar people from wearing any sort of headgear in this country? And then where is this going to stop? Will you ask the Sikhs to take off their turban? Where does it stop? Thank you very much for joining us on this discussion. Number one, we are stopping for a short break at this moment. Left, Right and Center continues on the other side. Welcome back. Before we move any further, let's take a look at some of the comments that have come in on the Coup app. Priya says, it is a part of their faith and no one should be allowed to prevent them from practicing it. Of course, this is in the context of girls wearing hijab and not being allowed in their college. Nitesh Tyagi says, we call our country a secular state, but how are we really practicing secularism? Okay, let's now quickly move on to story number two. So some of the states have declared a chief ministerial candidate. In fact, in some states, some parties have declared their CM face, that if we win, this guy is going to be our chief minister. But then there are many parties, in fact, some who have, and other political parties who have not declared their chief ministerial faces. So this conundrum called to declare or not to declare is what we are going to discuss right here. Let's take a look at battleground Uttar Pradesh, where for the BJP, there is Mr. Yogi Adityanath. For the Samajwadi Party, the claimant is Akhilesh Yadav. From the BSP, it is Mayawati. Now, these are very obvious choices. Very, very obvious choices. But for the Congress, in case they win, there is a question mark. That is battleground UP. Let's now shift to Punjab. Who are the chief ministerial faces? So, Aam Aadmi Party, after months of procrastination and a very protracted negotiation, has announced Bhagwant Mann as their chief ministerial face. That for the BJP, unknown. Of course, you've got Captain Amrinder Singh supporting him, but supporting them, but not declared as the CM candidate. Shiromani Akali Dal, who will be their face, is not being projected even now. Of course, they've got tall leaders. The BSP, which is contesting with the Shiromani Akali Dal, not declared the CM face. In the Congress, it's surprising where you have got Navjot Singh Sidhu, Channi, but still the Congress party officially has not declared a chief ministerial face. Now let's shift to Goa. The only party to declare their chief ministerial face, who's going to join us in just a short moment, is the Aam Aadmi Party with Amit Palekar. The TMC has not declared anyone. The Congress has not declared anyone. The BJP, the Shiv Sena, the NCP, nobody has declared their chief ministerial candidate. Which is why there is a basic question that we ask. CM candidate to declare or not declare? You see, the official position is that after an assembly election is won, it is the MLAs who decide who their chief minister is going to be. That's the procedure. But we've seen that political parties decide in certain cases that we'll go with the CM face, and in some places they decide we won't go with these faces. Why is there this disparity all the time? Raghav Chadda is with us of the Aam Aadmi Party, Gurdeep Singh Sappal, spokesperson of the Congress, and Pramod Swamy, leader of the BJP. Thank you very much to the three of you. Raghav Chadda, we'll begin with you first. It is the Aam Aadmi Party which has declared its chief ministerial candidate in Punjab and in Goa, even in Uttarakhand for that matter. You think that this is a wiser strategy to go into an election with a face?
Well, of course, we think it's a wiser strategy, and therefore we've announced our chief ministerial candidates in all three states. And I think this stems from the fact that people today want to know who is going to be the leader, the senapati a particular political outfit. And it is largely on public demand that the Aam Aadmi Party and all other parties do choose to nominate somebody as the chief ministerial face. For example, in the state of Punjab, since I am the co-in-charge for the party looking after Punjab, I can tell you that in my travels over the last one and a half years, the one question that people used to ask me all throughout was, who is going to be your chief ministerial candidate? And finally, after going to the people, seeking their suggestions, seeking their consent, etc., we have nominated one of our tallest leaders in the state.
Yeah, somebody but you took your own sweet time.
A member of parliament. Well, we took time. Yes, I will explain. I'll explain to you. First of all, the one thing that is most critical in an election campaign is the timing. And the timing of the announcement is entirely the prerogative of every political party. You have to time it well. And it is entirely our prerogative who to nominate, when to nominate, how to nominate. Hmm. And I think after doing a lot of, thinking, after speaking to the people, after seeking their consent, the suggestions, all of that, in an overwhelming majority, when we were told by the people that they want to see Bhagwant Mann as someone who should be leading the state of Punjab, we nominated our party president of the state of Punjab as the chief ministerial candidate. So I think as far as Punjab is concerned, Sanket, Aam Aadmi Party is going to be the only party that is going to nominate a chief ministerial candidate. The Akali Dal is not going to. Congress is a train wreck. They're in no position to do so. They're a divided house. There is a WrestleMania that is going on in the Congress's Punjab unit. The BJP is not even in the contest, so why waste time by even discussing the prospects of the BJP in Punjab? The SSM is a non-starter. So I don't think anyone is going to nominate a chief ministerial candidate except the Aam Aadmi Party. It also shows that we're in pole position, and that is what every opinion poll is also showing. May I just supplement?
Yeah.
I'll just take 15 more seconds. You see, the decision as to who is going to be the chief ministerial candidate of the Aam Aadmi Party in Punjab is a decision that doesn't merely impact the Aam Aadmi Party alone. It impacts 3 crore Punjabis of this suba as well, simply because we're in pole position, we're at the finish line, we're going to form the government. And therefore, it was most important to ask the people, what do they want? who do they think.
But did you conduct a similar exercise in Goa or a similar exercise in Uttarakhand?
So horses for courses, right? We did not, but in Punjab we did. But you also need to understand that, you know, these are instruments of direct democracy that the Aam Aadmi Party has used very often.
Okay.
In fact,
okay.
In the year 2013,
whether you use this in Delhi also,
political party or
but
not,
you know, the thing is, you can be accused of using this at the place and time of your choosing. Mr. Sappal, I want
which
to come
which is fine.
To...
It's our political strategy.
Okay. Fair enough.
You can't fault me for that.
Mr. Sappal, see, the thing is, in Punjab, where it is your government, you have a sitting chief minister and yet he has not been declared the CM face. You're going into the election with so many people thinking to themselves, what if I become the chief minister? Is this a wise strategy? I've seen the Congress dilly-dally a lot on whether to declare or not declare. Some places you do, other places you don't. I know it's your prerogative, but what is a better strategy?
Sanket, generally Congress does not declare a CM candidate. Except some exceptions, like last time, Captain Amrinder Singh was declared the CM candidate. But if you see, in Chhattisgarh, it was not declared. In Maharashtra, there was no CM candidate. In Karnataka, it was not declared. In Rajasthan, it was not declared. In Madhya Pradesh, it was not declared.
Don't you think this leads to confusion and lack of clarity?
No.
As Raghav Chadda said, where is your Senapati?
It is very easy for Aam Aadmi Party to declare a CM candidate. Because they have very few leaders. I can challenge Raghav now to name the CM candidate of Aam Aadmi Party in Goa in last election. Nobody even remembers that poor man. He's no more in the Aam Aadmi Party also. The people also have forgotten him. I can also say, you can do a survey within your own viewers right now, a snap survey, and ask them who was the leader of opposition of Aam Aadmi Party in Punjab. People don't
remember. Well, everyone knows. It's Harpal Cheema. Everyone knows in Punjab.
Yeah.
Literally everyone knows
in Punjab. Just ask people.
If you read the papers, and he's on front page every single day.
Okay, one by Raghav, one. One by one.
He's nowhere. He's nowhere in your strategy. So this luxury is there with Aam Aadmi Party, which is a party of very few leaders left, because most of their leaders, they leave the party after a time. In Punjab also, most of the party has quit Aam Aadmi Party, and that is why its vote share constantly fell in last 7 years from 24% to 5%. So that apart, Aam Aadmi Party is the principal opposition party, no doubt about it. Aam Aadmi Party is there, it has declared its candidate. But Congress Party is a party, is not a one-horse race. Congress Party has so many leaders and it's a collective leadership that goes into an election.
No, there is another way of looking at it. You don't want to declare a Senapati because otherwise there will be massive infighting. So let's win the election first. Let's get everyone on
then
board
in
winning the election and then later decide.
I don't think you can say that Congress Party is infighting and every other party is very united in its approach. Everybody has seen infighting in Kejriwal, between Kejriwal and Bhagwan Mann. Two people wanted to be CM face without saying it. Now Raghav will of course say no. I understand Raghav. I go
come on.
No.
Come on.
But the perception outside, what people think, there's no confusion about it. That is why you went through this entire song and dance.
Yeah, one moment. I'll come back to you.
Never
I want to bring in Mr. Pramod Swamy of the BJP, who's been sitting quietly, patiently listening. Mr. Swamy, see, your party in Uttar Pradesh has a clear CM face in Yogi Adityanath. But in Uttarakhand, there is no such declaration. In Goa, no such declaration. I don't know whether in Manipur also you have declared the same or not. And in Punjab, of course, we know you have no such declaration.
बिल्कुल सही. इसके पहले यादव चड्डा जी ने भी जो कहा राघव चड्डा जी ने भी जब आपने उनसे सवाल किया कि आपने पंजाब में declare किया अन्य state में क्यों नहीं किया तो उन्होंने कहा कि हर स्टेट के लिए एक अलग रणनीति होती है. मैं उनकी
नहीं बात उन्होंने ये बोला कि जिस तरीके से पंजाब में उन्होंने डिक्लेयर किया है वो तरीका उन्होंने नहीं अपनाया लेकिन डिक्लेयर हर जगह किया है. प्रमोद स्वामी
नहीं मैंने
डिफरेंट स्ट्रोक्स फॉर डिफरेंट फोक्स
नहीं ठीक है कहा होगा. मेरा कहने का मतलब है कि हर राजनीतिक पार्टी हर स्टेट के लिए अपनी एक रणनीति बनाती है. उस रणनीति के तहत कभी वो चीफ मिनिस्टर का कैंडिडेट डिक्लेयर करते हैं कभी डिक्लेयर नहीं करते. जैसे हमारे आसाम में अभी चुनाव हुआ था तो 5 साल तक यहाँ सर्वानंद सोनोवाल जी चीफ मिनिस्टर थे लेकिन उसके बाद में अभी 2021 में जब चुनाव हुआ तो हमने सीएम फेस डिक्लेयर नहीं किया था. तो उसके बाद में जब चुनाव होने के बाद में विधायकों की राय से डॉक्टर हेमंत बिश्व शर्मा को मुख्यमंत्री
दैट इज माय पॉइंट यू नो व्हाट हैपेंस इज
मैं
यू डोंट वांट टू डिक्लेयर अ फेस जब आप फेस डिक्लेयर नहीं करते हैं तब आप ये कहते हैं यू नो दिस डिसीजन द एमएलएज विल टेक आई हैव हर्ड दिस आर्ग्यूमेंट फॉर अ वेरी लॉन्ग टाइम इवन इन द यूनियन इलेक्शंस लोकसभा इलेक्शंस द सेम थिंग द एमपीज विल डिसाइड हु द लीडर इज गोइंग टू बी But then this rule is not applicable.
मैंने पहले ही कहा आपको मैंने पहले ही कहा कि हर चुनाव की अलग अलग रणनीति होती है जब राज्यों के चुनाव होते हैं उसकी अलग रणनीति होती है लोकसभा का चुनाव होता है उसकी अलग रणनीति होती है लोकसभा चुनाव में हमने 2014 में 2019 में हमने प्रधानमंत्री के फेस के हिसाब से नरेंद्र मोदी जी का नाम को आगे करके हमने चुनाव लड़ा तो वो हर स्ट्रेटेजी होती है और वो क्लिक भी की अब यूपी में हमने जो पिछला चुनाव जब हम जीते थे तो हम सीएम का फेस लेकर के नहीं आए लेकिन इस बार हम योगी जी के फेस के साथ हम जा रहे हैं तो ये चुनाव में रणनीति होती है वहां जो नेतृत्व होता है वो बैठ करके इस पर चिंतन
मे नॉट नेसेसरली बी अ प्रॉब्लम राघव चड्डा योर रिस्पॉन्स यू वॉन्टेड टू कम इन
लुक फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल द प्रोसेस इज वेरी सिंपल एज फार एज द process is concerned there is a legislature party that nominates the leader or votes for a particular leader the leader then writes a letter to the governor saying I have the majority the governor then calls the leader on the floor of the house to prove his majority and thereby you form the government this is a simple process that's been defined in the constitution but of course in modern day electioneering the nomination of somebody as your leader as somebody as your senapati as I've called it is it becomes extremely crucial in political campaigns these days and it is not merely the political party's own desire it is also that it's people's desire people want to know when they want to cast when they want to go
okay we seem to have lost Raghav Chadda's connection but thank you very much I think I've got a sense different strokes for different folks that seems to be the strategy whatever works best is what political parties decide. Perhaps also a way to put off any inconvenient conversation around who is going to be the chief ministerial face. That is also a definite possibility. Maybe a question for the Congress party in the state of Punjab. Which is why Mr. Channi has not been declared, Mr. Sappal. He's done, as you claim, some good work in the past two to three months.
Of course. Okay.
And he's yet you have not declared him as the CM face.
Let us understand. Mr. Channi is the chief minister. The work he has done in the last 100 days has been registered not just in Punjab, but he has clicked with voters and there's a persona that has been developed and people of India have now started recognizing it that here's a new person who has come from a very poor background, from Dalit background.
Name him as your face.
Grown through education and is a good administrator. But he has been there for the last 3 months. It's a new leadership which is being developed in Punjab.
Sure.
And collective leadership, that's why you have to put your best foot forward.
Correct.
You cannot say that only there's one leader and others are not there. Others sure. are senior leaders. They okay. all have come together to fight this election.
Okay. Thank you very much to all of you all for joining us. Before we head into a short break, let's quickly play out an interview with the chief ministerial candidate of Goa for the Aam Aadmi Party. We spoke to Mr. Amit Palekar. Let's now talk to the latest face, chief ministerial face of the Aam Aadmi Party, this time around from the state of Goa. Mr. Amit Palekar is now with us. Mr. Palekar, first of all, congratulations for being named the chief ministerial face. Now, while your name has been announced, what are your thoughts on the prospects of the Aam Aadmi Party, given the fact that you are still considered as a rookie party in the state? First time, Amit.
No, it is not a first time party. If you've seen last elections had been contested by Aam Aadmi Party. We stayed back, we held ground, we have percolated in the whole of state of Goa. We build our cadre, we build our teams, we connected to the people. And I think for Goa, Aam Aadmi Party is not new as far as these elections are concerned. The way things have moved in the last few months and for a few years is that people have got connected to us and people are looking at us as an only alternative for fighting corruption, for weeding out corruption as far as this present government is concerned. The way things have moved in last 2 months is amazing. The response has been amazing. People have been responding and giving their and pledging their support to Aam Aadmi Party. So I think we are all set to form the next government, the way things are moving right now.
Okay, but Mr. Palekar, do you feel that the contest in Goa becomes very interesting and difficult for you, given the multipolar nature of this contest now with the Shiv Sena and the NCP also forming an alliance and choosing to fight these elections? You've got Congress on one side, Trinamool Congress on the other, Bharatiya Janata Party on the other, this NCP Shiv Sena combined, and you. Multipolar contest.
I don't consider this kind of alliances of any consequences as far as the Goa elections are concerned. Goan electorate is smart. Goa knows, Goan people know that Aam Aadmi Party is an only option that's available to them, which is to which can emerge as an alternative to this present government, as I say, and is one of the most strongest party which has emerged as a strong contender to form next government. So these alliances of TMC, or if you look at any other alliances, are of non-existent or non-consequential as far as these elections are concerned. So I don't think we need to worry about it, or because people of Goa are today smart. People of Goa have had hope in Aam Aadmi Party, and that's how we are proceeding on that conviction of the people.
Okay, Mr. Palekar, now, see, you know, of course, you would know more. There is a lot of movement happening in Goa where many BJP ministers and leaders are now moving and defecting to other political formations. Do you feel that this is their realization of what really is a winning combination or a winning party? Some are going to the TMC, some are going to the Congress.
Not at all. It's all about selfish moments from one party to another. Normally, we had seen defections post-elections. This time, we have seen horse trading and defections prior to elections. It's about not getting ticket or getting ticket. As BJP, if you've seen, they have said that winnability is only criteria. We do not care about the character, the criminal records or any other nature of the candidate they are putting forth towards electorate. So I think it's very unfortunate for people of Goa that these things, we have to see this, and the way things are moving in the direction that it has moved. So I think it's time people of Goa find that change and vote for that change. And the way things are, I believe that Goa is going to vote for a change for sure.
Mr. Palekar, why are you so confident about your prospects in Goa? What are those two or three things which you feel will make a difference in your favor?
See, one thing that we have seen is in the last 1 year, only opposition that government has seen is not the Congress, which was an opposition party. Practically, it has been Aam Aadmi Party, which has brought to fore all the scams, all the corrupt practices of the current government. And people of Goa have seen the performance of Aam Aadmi Party, which did not have a single MLA or representative in the assembly in last one or last election. But today we are emerging as one of the parties which is now grounded, which has gone to people. We have roamed the whole of state of Goa. We have done door-to-door, or some of our candidates have done 3 times door-to-door campaigns. They have reached out to people, and people have reached out to them. So, you know, voters are connected to Aam Aadmi Party today, and that is why the confidence doesn't come from thin air. Confidence comes from the fact that the voters have put their faith, voters have connected to us, and they're sharing their needs, their hopes, their vision for Goa with us. And I think that can happen only when you stay connected and communicated with the voters. Sure. I think voter is the supreme who's going to decide these elections. And this election is going to be very different as far as Goa is concerned. You will see the results after 10th of March.
We'll see the results and hopefully get to see you and speak to you also on the 10th of March. But, you know, Mr. Palekar, in a post-poll scenario, whether or not you will be available to a post-poll alliance is an issue which has been sorted out by the Aam Aadmi Party chief himself. He says anyone but the BJP.
See, unfortunately, if we reach to that stage where Goa sees a fractured mandate, I think it can only be a non-BJP party which we can ally with. We'll rather say an opposition than to be aligned with BJP to form
yes,
the government.
Yes, but you know, when you openly talk about an alliance or a post-poll alliance, even before the elections have begun, does this not reflect a sort of weakness that you will not be able to achieve the targets on your own? That you've already started talking about alliances?
I am not talking about alliances. If you have heard me right, what I've said is that unfortunately, if there is a fractured mandate, we have to look for options. But it can never be BJP. As I am saying, the way things are going, people are going to put their faith in Aam Aadmi Party. Aam Aadmi Party is all set to form the next government. I am sure about it. But in an unfortunate event, it is for the people who decide, and people are the supreme, the voters are supreme, and they are going to decide what is going to be fate of Goa Assembly for 2022.
Sure. Mr. Palekar, my final question, and perhaps I should have started with this, but let me ask it. What, according to you, is the most important issue in Goa? Most important.
Corruption is one of the most important issues as far as Goa is concerned, and lack of opportunities for jobs. I think these two things combined together become one of the major issues as far as Goa is concerned. As I said, the index which has come out very clearly shows that every two people out of every three are unemployed, and which was earlier 50%, now it has gone to nearly 75%, which is unfortunate as far as Goa is concerned. When we roam in our assembly constituencies, we see that unemployment is one of the major factors. And the root cause of all this civil is the corruption and the scams that this government has indulged into. ICOT has taken cognizance of even this kind of scams in terms of jobs, as far as jobs are concerned. So it is unfortunate that every time a Goan has to approach the Honorable High Court and the courts time and again to fight against the government's corrupt practices. And I think it's time Goa changes. Goa is changing. Goa is emerging as a new Goa, and it will emerge as a new Goa under the leadership of Aam Aadmi Party. I'm sure about that.
Okay. All the best once again for being chosen as the chief ministerial face of the Aam Aadmi Party. And I hope to meet you and see you on the 10th of March. Thank you very much, Mr. Palekar.